I think that this is a call that was long overdue. We applaud President Tong's courage in making it. I think our political and business leaders, particularly in the fossil fuel sector, are in denial about how close to the climate cliff we actually are. And we believe that the majority of nations on the planet actually do not have an interest in new coal mines or expanding existing coal mines. And we think that this call is going to actually reverberate and get significant support before we get to the Paris climate negotiations in December.
Is this really a serious call, though? I mean, a moratorium on new coal mines would mean thousands, hundreds of thousands of jobs lost, especially in tough economic times. The advanced industrial economies run on the power produced by coal. Wouldn't it be better to look at phasing it out in terms of other coal? Clean coal is a possible alternative as well. Isn't just calling for no more coal mines just not really a serious proposal?
Well, firstly, clean coal is a myth. There is coal which is less dirty than other coal. Secondly, these are new jobs, right? These are new expansions that we are talking about. We do accept that we cannot stop coal tomorrow, but we are saying that there should be no further expansion from the current moment, one. Secondly, we do want to see a phase out. And thirdly, it's important to recognize study after study now is showing that, in fact, the job creation potential in the renewable energy sector outstrips that of sticking to dirty energy jobs. So we think this is a very serious call. We expect in the next week that you'll have very many serious global thought leaders stepping forward to endorse this call. And we expect that within 2 months, we will have several governments stepping forward before we get to Paris, giving it weight and ensuring that this is taken seriously as part of the negotiations in December.
China, for example, is opening one new coal-fired power station a week on average to fuel their economic development. Do you really think they're going to stop that for the sake of the climate?
Well, it's not when you say the sake of the climate, this is where I think our political leaders are struggling. This is about protecting our children and their children's future. This is about ensuring that we can limit the rise in conflict that we are seeing as a result of climate impacts. In my continent, Africa, we are seeing severe conflicts being exacerbated by climate impacts now. It is about ensuring that we do what the science is saying. And it's not Greenpeace or President Tong who's actually stepping forward with the science. It's every government has their scientists at the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, and they are saying that at least 80% of known oil, coal, and gas reserves need to stay underneath the ground if we have to have a chance to avert catastrophic climate change. So for short-term economic gain, and by the way, it's very contested who makes economic gain out of it, and we are happy to meet with Prime Minister Abbott at any time to show him studies that we have done, which actually shows that the job creation potential of renewables, particularly solar and wind, and I mean Australia, for example, could be a leader in solar. And I think it's important to recognize those countries that drag the feet now are going to put themselves at a serious economic disadvantage in the future, because the successful nations of the future are going to be those that get aspired at the green technology race right now. And Prime Minister Abbott's approach is not only harmful to the environment, I would argue it's also fundamentally harmful to the economy. And yes, it's true what you say about China, but China is also ramping up significantly its renewable energy investment. And following a meeting with President Obama last year, we are seeing a curbing, significant curbing in terms of coal expansion. And we are going to do whatever we can to keep the pressure on China and every other country to actually follow President Tong's call.
Well, let's go to your visit to Kiribati. How urgent is the situation with sea level rise there?
Well, as President Tong says, that the difficulty is they have what's called high tides. When the high tides hit, right, it's impacting very much on people living close to the shoreline. And I saw quite a bit of Kiribati, and lots of people are living extremely, extremely close to it. So one, you can see that sea level rise has already had an impact in various places. It's precarious, actually, when you look how close people are living to the shoreline. So any high tide is going to push people in. We can see that the conversations that are happening. I went to schools, I went to churches, I went to community groups, and you know, it's very tragic to hear young children tell you that I don't want my country to disappear, and it looks like it's going to happen, and I want to protect my culture, identity, and history. And you know, we should not have an approach that because a country is poor, because it doesn't sit on gold or other resources, and because it might have a small population, that they are sort of dispensable. We, as Greenpeace and all the environmental and social movements around the world, are going to do everything we can to stand with the Pacific Island nations, because it's not fair that they should pay the first and most brutal price of climate impacts when they actually carry the least burden in terms of creating the problem of carbon accumulation and climate change.